Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercies endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And truly, I was glad when they said unto me, oh, let us go into the house of the Lord. Let me tell you something. It doesn't matter where you are, who you are, and what day it is. This is the day. Every day is the day that the Lord has made. And it is not we who have made ourselves, but it is he that has made us. And we know that it's in him we live, we move, and we have the essentialness of our being. And truly I am rejoicing in God's grace and his blessings and his provisions and his miraculous presence in my life. And let me tell you something. There is power, 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 wondrous working power in the blood of the Lamb. And see, the blood represents the life force, the life source, the very epitome of existence. And I'm telling you, every time that God gives us the gift, this gift called life, that we can open our eyes with our mouth, move our body, have neurological, neuropathic functions that are equivocal, that are balanced, that are harmonious to good measure, we should give thanks unto God. We have all our inner capacities, our inner organs operating in full functioning capacity. That's a gift from God. And I tell you, the more that you thank God for what you have, oh, the more that he will give you. And that's just such an astounding testimony within itself. And I know many of you are saying, well, hey, it's Memorial Day celebration. How many people are going to chime in and listen to a broadcast entitled Manner of Speaking? Let me tell you something. Every day is a day of worship. Every day is a day of praise. Every day is a day of thanksgiving that we all should be a part of. If there's a people that is more befitting to function in a way of being humble, grateful, and thankful, it is those who are under the umbrella of true Christianity. That's right. This gives us rightful justification to be in this manner, because we are to be different from the world. I know the world is celebrating Memorial Day, and many of us are, and we should recognize those in times of past and even present who have sacrificed their safety, their well-being, to make this nation a better and safer place and to institutionalize safety and protection around the world. We should give respect unto them. And let me tell you something else. We are to render unto Caesar's what is Caesar's, and we were to render unto God what is God's. And rendering unto what is befitting in the secular setting is to give provisions of appreciation to those people. Don't just walk past those who are deemed as veterans who are yet surviving and they've lived through the atrocities of armed conflict. Don't just walk past them and say nothing. You should always be ready and vigilant to say thank you for the service that you provided. And to show appreciation, your financial provisions allow you to give retribution to them. Don't let them have to pay for their meal on Memorial Day or at any given time. You just don't have to set aside Memorial Day any given time. Take care of it for them. They're paying for other provisions, whether it's groceries or anything else that is reflective of their necessities. Why don't you show some common courtesy and take care of it for them? These are small things to many, but it means a lot to a person who has served, who has put their safety and their life on the line, who never got the fullness of their retribution ever given to them. This means a lot. And why not do that? An act of kindness can change a life, can change a mind, and change the existence of that person and miraculously transform your existence. Have you ever thought about that? Little thing, as the song says, means a lot. Well, it means a lot to a person who has been denied and ignored. Just the smallest act of gratitude can change a person's life totally. And these are the things that we're supposed to do naturally. You know, we're supposed to be full of goodness, of kindness, of virtuous deeds and works. This reflects who we serve. Remember, Jesus said, a tree is known by the fruits that it bears. Now, some of us, we want to get up and we want to do the hallelujah praise and we want to do the expression of emotionalism, sensationalism. Well, that comes along with the package in retrospective of organizing things in the correct manner in which they should be done. That's right. Because the spirit of the prophet is always subject to the prophet. And in order to get people, and we're saying, I need to be able to minister to people. I need to be able to recruit others and witness to people. The best way of witnessing, of getting people to come to the faith, is to, first of all, as Apostle Paul said, first natural, then spiritual. That person has biological necessities that are not being met. They're hungry or their children are hungry. Their place of residency is being jeopardized in a way that is uncompromising and just inhuman. Do you think that that person wants to listen to you talk about salvation? Let's be realistic about it. No. Because the first thing they say is, how is that going to help me in what I'm facing? So what we, to whom God has imparted unto us, the affluency, the consistency of financial provisions, of wealth, of riches. We are to minister to those people by first natural provisions. They're hungry, feed them, provide them with finances. Remember, the scripture tells us money answers all things in this world. So with financial provisions, I can give to someone who needs to pay their rent. I can give to someone who needs to pay their utilities. I can give to someone who needs to buy food, a dietary provisions for them and their children. This is the way that we're able to get the focus of people. Because remember, we're living in a what they call a microwave generation. And they want to see results. They want to see instantaneous results. And this is why Jesus told us that we are the lights of the world, a city set upon a hill that cannot be hidden. So therefore, we're to let the light of Christ shine by ministering to the needs of the poor. Remember, Jesus told us the poor we're going to have with us always. So when ministering to them, the effective way of catching the fish while the fish is still at bay in the sea is to be able to take that rod and that reel is to cast it out there, or to say, to go out there and meet them where their need is. And after you have met them where their need is, whether that provision was the necessity of paying for their residency in the way of rent or mortgage, you got them. Whether it's in the way of buying biological necessities relevant to dietary provisions, or we call it groceries or food, or other aspects of their biological upkeep, we've caught them, and we can reel them in. And once we've done this, we can now see that we get fed into the natural level of need, so which is considered the natural biological needs, dexterity, and provisions. We're now ready to equip them for the spiritual knowledge. Now they're no longer worried about taking care of their natural obligations that they couldn't take care of. Now they're ready to receive the spiritual. They're ready to receive the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And what has happened, and I've got to call it out, because if I don't call it out, I'm held accountable for what I say and most of all for what I don't say. The biggest mistake that congregations have made is that they're pushing out spiritual information to people that are in natural crisis. If you are casting your lots out there for spiritual information to get people into the congregation, and these people are facing odds and adversities that are overwhelming them, you're not going to get a favorable response. This is why we, as believers, this is why we're the church. And see, don't wait on a congregation to do this, because in most cases it's not going to happen, because as wrong as it is, but being upfront and being honest, we have to tell it like it is. So many of the congregational leaders are seeking to fatten their pockets, to expand their horizon, to have all of their needs and their wants met in spite of what's going on around them. And how be it a horrible, horrible testimony to live in an affluent residency, to have your congregation in an influential and affluent setting, and you're seeing poverty all around you. No, 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 no. Jesus added to the church daily. That means lives were changed. People's financial situations were changed. People's personal level of associations were changed. Being a believer is about being a change agent. We're to bring the blessings to those who feel as though that they're cursed. Not to sit on the blessings and talk about I, me, mine, and mine. We're to bring the blessings to those who have been rejected by society. To bring the love of God to those who have been casted asunder as undesirable, as failures, as at the very bottom of the human chain. This is who we're to reach. Stop reaching for people who think that they're sitting in heavenly positions and people are honoring them and putting their name out there like they're the second Messiah. Get out that garbage pit. Go into all the world and teach, preach the gospel. That means proclaim to every creature. Stop looking down on people and making mockery of them. Because he that humbled himself shall be exalted, and he that exalted himself shall be abased. Because we're all human, and we all came from the dust. Ashes to dust to dust, so shall you return, this physical body. The only thing that's encased in it that's not going to the dust is the spirit and the soul. And the soul is the imprint of who you were in your physical existence. And the spirit is the life force that empowers or compels who you were. Remember the scripture told us? It said God breathed the breath of life into Adam, and thus Adam became a living soul. So we're all of the same compository. And that's the reason why we need to reach out to those who don't have and minister to their needs. And the first thing I hear people say, why would you give this person this and that when they're using substance? People don't oftentimes use substances as a way of trying to just get high and feel good. Some people use substances because they're trying to escape the horrors or the things that were unpleasant in their life. And this is an escape mechanism. And we're still to reach out to them. Because greater love hath no man than a brother that layeth down his life for his friends. And Jesus said to his disciples and to the followers, he said, you are my friends, and so therefore I lay down my life for you. So Jesus did it, and we're to walk in the pathway. And this is what the problem is. And we have to just speak it like it is and tell it the way God wants it. We've got so many imitators that want to be celebrities, want to be worshipped and honored. There's no second Messiah. There's only one Messiah, and always will be one Messiah. People are so enticed into their personality, and we're celebrating people. Stop that mess, because this is not what God likes, and he's not pleased. Can't you see the evidence of God's displeasure? Can't you see the evidence? I made a post on Facebook, and I said, until America get this right, falls on its knees and repents for its infractions, its ignorance of God and his presence, we will continue to see the moral decay present in today's society, and it will only impinge and become worse because people are not doing it. They're covering their sins. And the scripture tells me, he that covers his sin shall not prosper. Everything that God spake in his word, through the mouth of holy men and prophets, and even Jesus spake, Lord of lords and King of kings, God the Father spake. People are being so ignorant, and they're reading these philosophical projection types of publications that teach them how to have the best of everything, how to produce the best of everything outside of God. Anything outside of God is false. It's a lie. It's a fallacy. It's no relevance behind it. I know this is powerful truth on this glorious and victorious, melodious Monday, May the 30th, 2022, here on the Manor of Speaking. But we have to tell it like it is. Because God said in his words that my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. But this country is to set an example all around the world. It needs to fall on its knees. I mean, all the way from the highest governmental office of the land, all the way to the intrinsic community that make up this beautiful tapestry called our country, the U.S. of A. It needs to fall on its knees and repent and go back to God. Go back to the ways of truth. Go back to servicing the poor and the impoverished. Go back to making provisions to help people maintain equilateral housing, to help people to maintain the ability to buy nutritious food and dietary provisions, to go back to the action of making sure people are clothed adequately, to make sure that our neighborhoods have the necessities met within them, that we don't have to see the irrational acts of violence taking place, that we address people that have these mental incoherencies that are being plagued by demonic forces, that we treat these people first natural, then spiritual, and that we can address these people and catch them before it's too late and before they commit atrocities like this young man did on the pathway in Uvalde. That's right. And in Texas, they're still grieving. And truly, to be honest with you, I get teary-eyed when I even think about it, because this was a catastrophe that should have never happened. But because iniquity shall abound, and we're talking about it, I'm a child of God, I'm saved. What are you doing with your gift? Are you sending that close-knit off to the world? Are you closing it off to the country, to society, and sitting on it yourself and thinking it's going to flourish? That's why many of us have not prospered and progressed in the way that God wants us to, because we're sitting on the gift. We give to people that already have. No. The hungry need to be fed. The naked need to be clothed. The impoverished need to be empowered with resources to pay their provisions. We've gotten so far from God, and this is a sad thing, and we can see the results happening in society over and over again. The people that have psychological imbalances, you know, this is a gateway that Satan uses demonic forces to manipulate the actions of people who have these imbalances. But nevertheless, They're closing down the facilities to address and adhere to these people. That's the problem. That's the problem right there. Everybody is for somebody who's already deeming that they're somebody. God is not pleased. We need to repent. And he said, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then would I hear from heaven. What? He would hear us. He would hear from heaven. He would forgive our sin and heal the land. It's time for revival. It starts within, say it with me, revival and revitalization starts with me. And don't ever think you're so high you don't need to do this, because if you don't, you won't be covered under the blood, because you think things have gotten to an irrational level and exposition now, it's going to continue to get worse because the love of many has waxed and cold. And so many who have departed from the faith feel as though they're justified in doing so, because many of them say, I went to those who said that they were Christians and they were saved and they wouldn't help me. I went to those who said that they were born again and full of the Holy Spirit. They wouldn't even consider me. So I have no reason to believe. This is why we need revival, because some of us have gotten so to the point that we're just insolent. We don't even feel the power of the Holy Spirit anymore. We don't even feel the anointing anymore. We don't even feel the presence of God the way we used to feel, because we've gotten so conditioned to the world, to the things that are in the world. We want to be so important. We want to be so accomplished. We want to be so present. We want to be so prevalent. That's not the way of God. God said, he that humbles himself shall be exalted. And he that exalteth himself should be abased. You don't want God to abase you. Because remember, Nebuchadnezzar crawled on his belly like a serpent, and here he was a king. Don't play with God, because you don't want to do that. Because you're talking about the master of the universe who spoke you and I into physical existence and every living thing into existence. One word from him can change the very path of your life in a very harmful way. And also at the same time, if our man's ways please God, he'll cause his enemies to be at peace with him. God, through obedience to him, will overturn circumstances in your favor. One word from God will remove those enemy forces, those hindering spirits. One word from God will not only open up financial doors and windows of prosperity in your life, it will break down those doors that have kept you locked away from your wealth, from the prosperity that God has ordained unto you. Because God, I don't care whether you believe it or not, it don't change anything, has anointed some of us to become very wealthy in the natural realm. Why? Is it for us to sit on the beach? Is it for us to go and buy our own planes and our own jets where we can say, look what we got? No. It's to fund the kingdom of God upon this earth. Remember, Jesus said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. It's to administer to those who don't have, help them out the mess that they're in. Some people create their own mess. We all have done it. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And some things just come upon people, and it just overwhelms them financially. So God makes us wealthy so that we can get them out the mess they're in, that we can preach to them without even saying a word through our love and through our actions, and to fund the work of the gospel, that we can feed the hungry, clothe the naked, house the impoverished, and make this land a land of healing, a land of greatness, a land of miracles. And it's that time. It's that time. And if you accept that it's that time, you will be blessed and say, Lord, make me a vehicle of your miraculous existence. Let the miracle start with me. Kind and gracious Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this day that you have made, a day in which we will rejoice and be glad in it, Lord. We thank you for all that you have done and for what you are doing now in the here space of speaking. We're asking that all who have tuned in at this time of celebration, Memorial Day in the secular setting, Lord, that you give them the petition, the grant their petition and their plea, Lord, that you would supply all of their need according to your riches and glory through your blessed Son, Christ Jesus, who is our Lord and our Savior. And Father God, we ask that you move all hindering spirits, that you remove every dark force, every negative force that may try to hinder or staunch the word of God from coming forth and from the blessings and the miraculous transformations that are scheduled to come forth. And Father God, in the name of Jesus, we're asking that you strengthen those who are walking in the faith and let us be the conduit of greatness in your land. Destroy every high place, bring down every high tower that is intended to stop or hinder your people. Remove the evil, Father God, as only violence can but do. We ask that you touch, physically heal, spiritually heal every listener, Lord. Let them be a conduit of your miraculous power, Father God, to those who are grieving, Lord, in Uvalde. That's right, Lord. Those families that have those children that was taken from them, Lord, comfort them to know that they're in your bosom and in your care, Father God. And we're asking that you heal the land, Father God. You heal those broken hearts. That you merge together those broken minds, Lord. Give them to know that you are a God that's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we're able to ask and even think. And to Father God, we're asking that you let the blessings of Abraham fall upon each and every one of us, Father God, that we continue to please you, Lord. If we have committed any infractions, Lord, and even desire to commit any infractions, Lord, forgive us. And as King David said, Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew in me a right spirit. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. But Lord, we look up unto the hills from which cometh our help, and our help coming from the Lord that made heaven and earth. And he that keepeth thee will not slumber, neither will he allow your foot to slip. And Father God, the miracles, let them fall. Let the manifestation of the miracles fall right now. We thank you, we praise you, we glorify your precious and blessed name. In thy blessed Son, Jesus Christ's name, amen. It is done. Thank you, Father God. And as we're thanking God for all of his greatness and just a word of encouragement and prayer going out to those families in Uvalde, God is going to mend you. That's right. God is going to heal you. God is going to keep you. God's love is going to overshadow you. And God's love will overtake you. And God will continue to be present with you. And even so, what happened in the state of New York a couple of weeks ago, God be with each and every one of those families. And you know something? Jesus told us these things. He told us that in the last days we are existing. Yes, we are. You don't like it? Well, you know what? There's nothing that you can do about it. Jesus already told us in the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew that in these end times, the latter days, that these things would take place. That's the reason why we have to be covered under the blood of Jesus. We have to be protected. We have to be safeguarded and know that Psalms 91 needs to become a persistent reality. I am recommending you, this is the word of knowledge, to all believers, to all practitioners of the faith who desire to please God, Psalms 91 gives us that blessed seal of protection in the natural as well as the spiritual and redemption. That he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And we need to make sure that this scripture is constant within us, that we read it daily. We need to absorb the protection of this shield, of being under the wings of God's protection. That's right. This assures us that we're going to please God while we reach others. That's right, because Jesus told us these times were coming. He says in the latter day, he says, What? This is the beginning of sorrow. That's right. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. There shall be nations rise up against nations, wars and rumors of wars. So he was preparing us in the foretime before all of this took manifestation. So this is the reason why it's important that we fellowship. The true church is not in a building. Please know that. The true church is within your heart, within your faith. Your heart and your soul are condensed together. One describes the passion, one ascribes to action. And in the spirit of holiness, which means the mindset of holiness, are we to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth? And to receive divine revelation. God gives us revelation, but do we even give accompaniment to it? Do we either adhere to it? No, we don't. We become so conditioned by the world. We let the world think for us, the world do for us, and the world persuade us. No, Jesus said, I am the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith. And this is why we must persistently concentrate on the truth. And to the congregation, it's time to clean up. It's time to clean it up. Get these entertainment venues out of the congregations and these celebrations and all these strange events. Since when did the congregation become a place of performances, a place of stardom, a place of celebrity? That's garbage. I'm sorry to tell you that, but God wants us to clean up our acts. That's right. And you remember when Jesus, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, when he walked through and he saw the temple, they were selling animals. They were selling clothes. They were performing and entertaining. Jesus just simply got that corn together, a whip, and he whipped them out that temple. What did he say? Take not my Father's house and make it a house of merchandise. Because see, if you take a place and you open it up as a place of merchandise, you've translated the very aura, the atmosphere of that environment, and you've condescended what it was structured for. Those types of things have no placement in a true place of worship. When you open up those congregational doors, that place is to be sanctified as a place of prayer, praise, worship, and encouragement, and giving alms unto the impoverished. That's what you're supposed to do. You're not supposed to be opening up as an entertaining venue. This is displeasing to God. You're tearing down the protective barrier when you allow these things to come in. It's time for revival, and we got to just tear it down and fix it right. Because the structure is not solid. If something's not solid, it's shifting. It's not going to be strong and astringent and resilient. Don't you know when we pray and ask God for a method of delivery and for a manifestation, you know that manifestation is supposed to take place right then and there? And when it doesn't, that tells you that God is not pleased. Remember he told Moses? Moses didn't have to wait 10 years afterwards when God told Moses to take that rod and to separate that Red Sea. Hit that rod and a pathway was coming down. Moses didn't have to wait 10, 20, 30 days after the word was spoken. No, it happened right then. But he is a right on time God for an off time people. It happens. It happens. When God says something is going to happen, it's supposed to happen right then. And the only way it doesn't, it's not on his part, it's on our part. And we've got to clean ourselves up. We've got to get into the rightful place of where God would have us to be. And that's just the truth. And I know that many of you are saying, well, you know what, that's a pretty hard word. Yeah, but we got to clean it up. Because we've allowed too much contamination into our place of worship. You've let all these spirits, and now you're talking about, oh, look at what's happening. No. Anytime that we have a congregation, and we're in an area, a projection, an environmental capacity, that there is impoverished conditions around and dilapidation around, it is the job of that congregation to transform. This is why Jesus made us the fishers of men, to transform that area. We should see evident and apparent change, positive change, miraculous change. And when we don't see it, something is wrong. We need to examine ourselves, because that means that we're not doing what we're supposed to do. And this is what's happening. Everybody is about their business for attaining an image, getting recognition, but the people that need that, the very essence of the anchor thrown to them as a life jacket, are suffering. They're going down under while we're trying to get over. And that's just not right. That's not right. And I know that many of you say, oh, I just love to hear you speak. I love to hear you teach. I really get happy. But when it comes to the correctional information, some people shy away and say, you come across a little too harsh. No. God said in his words that my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. We got to get this word out there, because there's too much change that needs to be done. That's right. Too much change that needs to take place. And God is holding us accountable to get it done. We tell my own Lord, you have answered my prayer. Get busy. He said, go into the vineyard and work. He said, whatsoever is mine, I'm going to pay you. I've seen God fix circumstances with individuals and wipe out their debt. Yes, he'll do it, but you get busy and get his work done. That's right. Your prayer warrior, pray until you feel the foundation under your feet begin to shift. That's why you know the change and the breakthrough has come. God has appointed you to speak and teach his word. Well, you speak it. Sometimes you're speaking in a naturalistic way of things, in parables, in circumstances and situations. Sometimes you're speaking straight to the word. Get it done. Get it done. Sometimes God would use you just as a venue to pay off somebody else's debt, or to give them some finances to make their situation brighter, to bring them back into the fold. We'll do it. And God gives you $10,000, and here you turn around with that $10,000, all your stuff is paid, and here this person needs $1,500. You go give them $100? No, you give them the $15. And God will give you the increase. We got to get busy about our Father's business. That's right. We've got to get busy with our Father's business. And let me tell you something. The more that we put into the kingdom of God and our prayers and our meditations and in our actions and even our reactions, because sometimes people are not very nice. These are going to be some very difficult individuals to come across. And that means that we have to be willing to forgive them. That's right, because if we don't forgive them, our Heavenly Father will not forgive us. Let me tell you something. I know that I'm not perfect, and I constantly need his accompaniment of forgiveness in my life. And I'm going to tell you, as much as I forgive, that's right, God will forgive me. All right. I know we've been speaking in the power of the Psalms, the book of Psalms, and we've been going in chronological order. But you know something? I'm going to follow the power of the Holy Spirit. For as much as we are led by the Spirit of God, we are the sons of God. And we're going to skip all the way over to Psalms 18. And this psalm was for the chief musician, and this is a psalm of David. But you know, psalms have many themes based upon it: praise, worship, fear, distress, frustration, aggravation. Even to some elements you can see where the writers were even depressed. That's why we saw Nathan. We saw David. That's right. David was the chief person that wrote Psalms. There were other writers too. That's right. And as a result, Psalms were also referred to as the Book of Songs. That's right. At the same time, the theme of Psalms is honoring and acknowledging God. Because either you will notice that the writer was either acknowledging God, and for the most part, David wrote most of the book of Psalms. He was acknowledging God, questioning God, asking God's presence to become more prevalent in his life, and even at some points, even wondering why, God, Why are the wicked prospering? Why are the wicked always flourishing? Why is it that they that desire you sometimes seem like they lack? And it questions sometimes the integrity of the very writer, which in the most cases it was David. And, you know, Psalms has so many aspects. Every born-again believer, especially those who are even new to the faith, need to come and to get into Psalms because there's so much to learn. This, I call this a platform and a foundation book in establishing a productive and progressive relationship with God, Psalms. Okay, so let's go to the 18th division of Psalms. Here he sings. This is David when he was fleeing from Saul. And, you know, Saul was supposed to be a good friend of David, acknowledging his military prowess and his battalion capacity, overturning the biggest, to me, the biggest threat in the land at that time was the Philistine army, along with Goliath, who was considered a one-man army himself, the 9 feet tall, 500 pounds. This behemoth would wipe out armies by himself while the Philistines stood back and just watched him. And even sometimes just the presence of what Goliath looked like, armies would take flight. They would take off running because they knew they couldn't beat this man. But here was this scrawny young man, David, with a ruddy complexion, teenager. He looks at that giant and says, "This day shall the Lord deliver you into my hands." Not only did he think the smooth stone into the head of the giant and rendered him totally unconscious, he, even at the testimony, went with a sword and beheaded the giant, proving that God does give us victory over giants. Well, Saul clapped and applauded him for his battalion capacity, his battalion skills, and his military prowess, but at the same time, he saw the exaltation, the hand of God upon David. And he tried to dismiss it. But as time progressed on and people began to speak so highly of this young man, Saul began to get threatened, and he knew through the witness of Samuel, God had a special anointing. See, oftentimes, and I'm going to say this to you, when there are people out there who are missionaries of the enemy, they know people who carry the anointing of God, the special calling that God has in place within their life. And what this person attempts to do is to sabotage. They want what you got at your expense. But see, what God has assigned me to do, no one else can do. And what God has assigned you to do, nobody can take your place. So let them try. Let them lie. Let them attempt. They will come up empty-handed every time, and you will see their failure right before your eyes. And this is what happened with Saul. Saul got so full of indignation. And some people, they like to see you. They want to be friend with you and be good with you. When they see you down and out and you're struggling, things are not going right in your mind, you're having hesitations, you're having all types of difficulties, they're okay with you because, you know, they feel like they got some rank and file over you. But when they begin to see that the hand of God is favoring you, people are speaking well of you, people are talking about your abilities, and God is sending you quiet witnesses, and quiet witnesses are the most effective people that will promote you to exaltation. That's right. There's some people you may look at them and they don't like me. They'll never have done say to me. They'll never. These are the people often God uses as a way of promoting you, of excelling you to your next level. You don't even know it. But then you've got these people who are missionaries of the enemy who are sitting up there hearing all this good stuff about you. What do they want to do? Because they don't feel good about themselves. Sitting out there by the dog chain and pulling on them. And what else? They want to bark and want to bite somebody who seems to have everything that they want. So they'll lie. They'll put up a false image. They become delusional. But If you stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, God will reveal them to you. He will reveal the darkness within that person, and he will chastise them right in your presence. This is his dear Saul. Saul got so full of indignation against David. He knew that God had called him and appointed him. He wanted to kill him, so David had to flee. This man put out false statements about David. He tried to get other people to turn against him. All of this. And David, no, yes, he did. David did fall victim. He fell victim to the flesh. He saw a beautiful woman. He loved her. He desired her. And he was with her. Yes, he did. But God forgave him. That's right. But here's Saul. Besides all that, Saul just wanted him out the way anyway because he was a big threat to him. So here David is on the run. And he says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. He's saying, God, I love you. And I acknowledge you because you're the only reason why I'm still here, why Saul has not been able to destroy me nor any of his friends or his companions, why they haven't been able to do me in. It's because of you, God, and I love you because I know you're keeping me. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. Woo-wee, that's a lot. He's saying, God, you are my protection. You are my deliverer. That means you make a way out of no way for me to escape the arsenal of the enemy, and you provide for me. You are my strength. That means my force and my life force and my life source, whom I will trust. My buckler. That means you come to my defense. Oh, no, you mess with him, you're going to mess with me. This is what you said to those who are opposing me. He said, and the horn of my salvation. That means that you're the voice of my presence and my high tower. That means in the time of trouble, you will hide me in the high tower. That's right. And the name of the Lord is a mighty tower. The righteous, they run into it, and they are saved. So you've done all this for me, and you're continuing to do this. This is why I appreciate you so much. He says, I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. He's saying, I will continue to serve you and to speak your name because you're worthy of honor. You are worthy of glory. You're worthy of praise. When men hope my demise, you gave them a surprise. When they looked for me to go under, you took me over. When they thought they, I was counted out, you held me up. And because of that, I will call upon you, for I know that you are a present help in the time of trouble. He said, the sounds of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. He said, the eventuality that everything in my life has ceased and I'm at a dry point. See, the first thing about death, people say, oh my goodness, we're gonna leave the world. No. You are alive physically, but you can feel like everything around you is no longer producing. See, the death or being dead means that nothing is being produced. Everything has become at a standstill. How many times have we ever felt that everything in our life that we tried to do, but be productive, go forward, everything is at a standstill. Nothing is going. Nothing is growing. Nothing is sprawling. Nothing is moving. But then you look and you see other people who are not acknowledging God. You look and see other people who are not serving God. You look and see other people who can give God, could care less whether or not they even called on God. And more or less even believe on God. And they're prospering. They've got everything. You're looking at all the things that they have. You say, well, you know what? Why is my life like this? And you begin to question. Sometimes you become hard-hearted. You become ungrateful. Sometimes you begin to complain. And sometimes a feeling of animosity comes in because we're human. That's right. And this oftentimes is what happens because we're feeling as though our deeds, our actions are not constituting much of anything. But he says this. The sorrows of hell compassed me about, and the snares of death presented me. That means the failures, the depression. That's why you can be so depressed until you're to a point whereas you don't even feel that anything is ever going to change. You become hopeless and helpless. And this is what he was beginning to feel, you know? And here, he says, in my distress, I called upon and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before even in his ears. That means that God heard me. I broke beyond the vortex of human existence, and I translated from the natural to the supernatural level of existence as a human being. And because I was so heavy, because I was so frustrated, because I was so broken, God pitied me, and he heard me, and he responded to me. He said, then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken because he was wroth. That means God said, enough is enough. See, sometimes things can get on your nerves, so bad circumstances, situations, people, places, things, so much. God will get tired because we're going to him day and night, night and day, and God will finally say, this is enough. You cannot trouble my child any longer, and shut that company down. God will say, enough is enough. You can't plague my child any longer, and end up allowing a computer glitch to prove something was paid, even though it wasn't paid. That's the hand of God. God will say, enough is enough with that evil doing, that backstabbing desire to tear you down, to gain a reputation. God will break them down in your presence. He'll say, enough is enough. Well, see, God, when God say enough, we can say enough is enough, and we have gotten to a level of intolerance. But when God gets to the point when he said enough is enough with us, he going to do something about it, and it's going to be in our favor. That's right. Then went up a smoke out of the nostrils, out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth. Devoured coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rolled upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. That's saying that God just demonstrated he showed up and he showed up. And sometimes the deliverance that God gives us, we say, Lord, how you do that? Instead of saying, Lord, how you did it, don't say how did you did it. Just say, I thank you that you did it. How great thou art and how great thou will continue to be because I put my trust in thee. Oh, that's the reason why when Moses got so upset and he got so disturbed, God told him, stand still and know that I am God. And I am that I am. Then, oh, when he told him to stand still, I mean, don't move. You might have to cry. Stand still. Don't move your feet. You might have to toss your hands up and say, Lord, where art thou? Don't go back. Become as lost one, a pillar of storm, but stand still and see the salvation of the Lord your God. And oh, won't he show up and won't he show out? And he'll have us in awe. We're talking about saying how great thou art. How great art thou? And this is what he wants to do. You know, it gives God pleasure to work miracles in our lives. And the miracles around us, it gives him great pleasure. He made darkness his secret place, his pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of sky. At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. This is why God spake to them. He said, don't touch my anointed. Touch not my anointed. Do my prophet no harm. So let them just keep discounting you. Let them keep overlooking you. God said all their high places, he's going to bring them down about your feet. The very people that attempted to denigrate you and disassociate you will be the very people that will reach out and ask for your help. And know that it's God. We're not to be high-minded and haughty. We're just to say thank you, Father God, that I'm not on the reciprocating end of your wrath, and know that the wrath of God come upon the children of disobedience. So just stand still and know that he is God, and deliverance is coming very swiftly. And you know something? We're going to let you go right now. We're going to come back later on this week and continue on this pathway of greatness. Have a beautiful, abundant, peaceful, celebrational day, and a glorious and victorious miraculously supernatural week. You got your host with the most from coast to coast. The Esquire Aviation Self knows the Motor City Maharani saying, in all things give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And know that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. We'll see you later on this week. Take care.